six, seven, eight, nine, ten.
Can I, let's see. Is that all right? Put it there?
Let's see, I'm going to use that for the internet. Put it right here.
Good.
Okay. Well, you won't take any notes for them.
Well, I just use every quarter to be fine with me.
November 1956, I just retired from the regular army. And I was hired by the planning department to guide the city through whatever new program which they just applied for. Practically nothing had been done. I was assigned to the planning department and designated as the urban renewal division. Just me, we didn't have a secretary.
You were the coordinator.
I was whatever he had to do for urban renewal here. And soon it was obvious that city would have to have a workable program required by the federal government before they commit funds to grants to the city of Atlanta. I don't have a copy of that workable program. I have one at home, I'm quite sure. But what it was spell out on paper in the commitment of what the city intended to do and what facilities they have for carrying it out. And if those facilities were added, one of the things they required was a housing code. The city of Atlanta did not have a housing code of any kind. The building inspector felt that they should be, the building department should be responsible for the housing code enforcement, and they proposed several times a code that wasn't ample at all to meet the need. For example, they proposed adopting the Alabama State Code for rural communities, which wouldn't have applied at all in Atlanta. And so we had to adopt a housing code. This was a copy on the first housing code that the city had. And it was adopted by the Board of Aldermen that stayed there and became official on that day. I can't see, you know, that my eyes have been taking drops in them, I'm blurred. It soon became obvious when we started the urban renewal program there was going to be hostility to it. In fact, it was considerable hostility. For example, I personally, I was the only one who had been doing it at that time, working with urban renewal. I was called every night, for 10 consecutive nights, exactly the same time at my home, somebody complained about the urban renewal program, didn't want it. I found the 10th night I recognized, at least I thought I had before, but I was determined this time that I knew who it was. It was a fireman in one of the fire stations out in southeast Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Our biggest objection came from southeast Atlanta.
From the white community? From the whites?
My community, yep. Is. So, another time, Sunday afternoon, about 2:30, I got a telephone call and said that my house had been ready for bombing. And I didn't get out in the next 30 minutes or the house would be blown up. I called the police department, they came out and inspected, didn't find anything, it was just annoying, what it was. Then finally, yeah, just telling these things, an example of what was happening. 2:30 in the morning, Patterson first arrived at my front door with an order for my body. And I happened to be home and remember the door. Told him it wasn't quite ready for him yet. But it would have been very embarrassing and very detrimental to my family if I hadn't been there and
sure. They
came there to get my body.
What were they afraid of, these people who were against it?
They just didn't like the idea of anybody stepping in and interfering with their living conditions.
Were they afraid blacks were going to be brought into their neighborhood, you know?
What?
Were they afraid that blacks would be brought into their communities?
Well, that was part of it.
Yeah.
The biggest objection came from the whites.
Yeah.
I think that was part of the reason. So we decided we had to overcome that. So we developed what was known as housing. I'm being treated here for Parkinson's disease, and part of it is forgetfulness.
Oh.
And I have to
take your time.
I can check my notes from time to time. We found that in order to get the city participation that we needed, we had to have what we call a citizen advisory committee for urban renewal. And that was headed up by a very prominent people in Atlanta in every instance. Started out with Cecil Alexander. I don't know whether you know him or not.
I spoke with him, yeah.
But he was the chairman of the housing committee.
Yeah. Okay. Right.
So this was an advisory committee for urban renewal. We got people from every neighborhood of the city, tried to get them as influential people as we could. Later that chairmanship was headed up subsequently by Noah Langdale of Georgia State University.
Right.
And Dr. Atwood at one time of Emory University, and finally had some black schools in the latter years headed up. Kim Alexander Sr.
Right.
You probably didn't know him or know of him.
Right.
And people like that, and it worked like a charm. In order to develop the housing code, I contacted a number of cities and got what they had. Made a trip out to Dallas, for example, for what Dallas had, and worked on developing the housing code and the Water Over program. The Water Over program is very, very important. The federal government actually refused to make any commitments to the city financially, and it's not on grants until the city had produced a workable program showing the intentions, what they intended to do, how they were going to carry it out, and if they had enough facilities to do it with. Particular inspectors. Now, about this time, the building inspector of the building department thought they should have a renewal and operate. And they weren't getting anywhere with the housing code enforcement. Housing code enforcement was citywide. It wasn't just an urban renewal project, it was citywide. And they weren't getting anywhere with it at all, weren't just dragging feet on it. So finally one day, just out of blue sky, Mayor Hartsfield said he's going to put the Howard Gordon Forsman in the Urban Hill Department. In the meantime, they established it. I did it. Urban Hill needed a department head status, so they put it under Urban Hill Department. I was designated the head of it.
That was what, 1960?
Yeah. I was hired in 1956, it was about 1957-58, all in there. Found out what other cities were doing and tried to get out on similar bases. Now, in connection with this little sideline, we had this higher inspector, we didn't have any. We all had it higher from scratch. And we hired the first black inspector in the city of Atlanta, any city whatsoever. In order to get him to function without any difficulty, we had to, didn't operate in the city hall. He operated from the office of one of the members of the city advisory committee.
He was a housing inspector?
Housing inspector.
Representing
at all? No, housing code inspector.
Housing
code? His name was Lowry. He was the first black inspector for any of the services that the city had. And Mr. Bob Thompson was the man whose office he was like, and over down on Auburn Avenue.
Right.
And Lowry operated out of his office.
I spoke to Thompson. Yes.
And the purpose, functions, and responsibilities of Urban Manure and spelled out in this little pamphlet. You see when this was this day in 1961. We hit on it, gives you a little idea of the different project areas we had.
You stayed on as director of Urban Renewal?
Director of Urban Renewal, yes.
Under Mayor Allen as well?
Under Mayor Allen, and also under Sam Michelle.
Oh, under Sam Michelle too?
And also under Jackson.
You stayed under Jackson as well?
For a while.
As director of You were also director of the Housing Resources Committee at some point, weren't you?
On the Housing Resources Committee, yes, I was, I guess you'd call it executive director of it. Housing Resources Committee was a kind of a committee to replace the Citizen Advisory Committee for Urban Renewal. In the meantime, the Citizen Advisory Committee of Urban Renewal had its functions changed, so we have a broader base. It became the Citizen Advisory Committee for Community Development. And the Housing Resources Committee didn't particularly apply to the Urban Renewal project, that's the city as a whole. And that was a follow-up after Citizen Advisory Committee for Urban Renewal, just a modification of it, what that amounts to.
But Cecil Alexander was the, he was the chairman and you were the executive director?
Who was the chairman?
Cecil Alexander of the Housing Resources Committee?
No, he was chairman.
And you were executive director?
I was executive director.
Okay.
Now, try to keep very close check of what we were doing. So we put out from year to year status for Urban Renewal projects. This is one of them. You see, I think it is 60, 1970. But to get to fully appreciate what's in here, you have to read these notes in front of it. I'll be glad to lend this to you if you want to. In the progress of this and the different parcels of the property.
This just goes right through all the properties,
right? That's the whole thing here.
Okay.
And that's 70.
This is,
this one.
72.
72. This is 73.
73.
I just gave you an idea of what we had to go through to keep track of them.
See?
Well, these were made, each member of the housing resources committee. I got a copy of this, and also made copies to the libraries and sitting through the branch library.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Sitting in there. Next thing we had to do was to have an inventory of just what we had. Not when we mistaken. This was done usually on an annual basis. And the policy documents on which we were operating over the year contained some idea of what it was like. And some papers in this folder here, which I'll show you a little later.
Mm-hmm.
And we found as we went along that we couldn't get everybody to comply with the housing code. We had to have a court function, had to take people to court for violating it. And then we went to one city which had, I thought, a very unique system. Before they took them to court, they had a preliminary legal hearing on each property that they were trying to get improved on the housing code.
Mm-hmm.
And at that legal hearing, the owner appeared and also the inspector of that particular building who made the inspection. And they had a regular lawyer hear these cases. We gave him $10 a case. And he was supposed to look at it and see whether or not the housing code division had authority to get done what they were trying to get done. And that the man's rights were not imposed upon him. That worked very well. We got quite a bit of improvement under that.
Let me ask you one thing about that. When the slums were being torn down, let's say beginning in the 1950s, where did the city leaders think that the low-income blacks were going to move? Was there any relocation plans at all?
Yes, we had a relocation section in the Urban York Department.
How early? Right back at the very beginning?
It wasn't not in the very beginning. We found out we needed it.
Yeah.
It had it up until the end of the period of urban renewal.
Okay, but at the very beginning, where did they think all these relocated people were going to be living?
Well, we were trying to develop other housing outside of urban renewal projects as well as inside.
Yeah.
And we had this relocation section in the overview department, which helped them in any way they could. And some of these papers, I've got statistics here on the numbers of units that were affected, both for relocation and for repair of the building. Building respect, and I said, we're not getting along very well with the housing code enforcement. He wasn't having it at all. Mm-hmm. Didn't even have a code adopted. And one day the mayor of Hartsfield said he's going to take the housing code enforcement away from the building department and put it over in the old department, which he did.
That was you.
The building department resented that. They were very resentful. Mm-hmm. Never did give up on it. For example, every meeting that the Urban Renewal Department had, or the Citizen Advisory Committee for Urban Renewal had, the building department had one of their senior people sit in on it and monitor the action that was being taken,
right,
or the proposal that was being taken. Another thing made it a little awkward, before I came here, before I was hired by the city, Atlanta had designated the housing authority as the executive branch for carrying out the urban renewal. That is, buying the property, actually advertising it, and actually selling it. The urban renewal department did not do that. The housing authority did it. And there was a committee, an action committee, that was forced to pass on these things and recommend the Board of Aldermen whether or not to adopt them or modify them. That committee consisted of three people from the housing authority: John O. Childs, who was the chairman of the housing authority; M. B. Satterfield, who was executive director of the housing authority; and his assistant, Earl Metzger. Now, they were on the other side, from the city side. We had the chairman of the urban renewal committee of the Board of Aldermen, and me as head of the urban renewal department. So there were five votes to be cast. Many times, the three from the housing authority would carry the thing through. And got to where they would send the notice action for the Board of Aldermen without even notifying the urban renewal department ahead of time. And I finally had to give a written order on the power of the mayor that anything that the housing authority wanted adopted by the urban renewal committee of the Board of Aldermen, or by the Board of Aldermen, would have to reach me 24 hours in advance so that I'd have time to look it over and prepare for it. It went much smoother after that.
Was there any effort to discuss any of these issues with black leaders in the city?
What?
Was there any effort to discuss any of these issues with black leaders, the relocation issues?
Oh yes. We had black leaders on the city advisory committee of urban renewal.
So they were made aware of what was going on?
Oh yes, everything. Wasn't there any secrets being held back at all.
How were they won over?
By seeing that the more influential blacks, we tried to get as influential blacks as we could on the committee, mm-hmm. that they were willing to go along with it, and then they accepted it.
But why were they willing to go along? I mean, since the whole effort of urban renewal was to move a lot of blacks out of the business area.
No, that wasn't the idea. It was that way to a certain extent. But the idea of urban renewal was to develop the slum and redevelop it for better use than they had. Mm-hmm. Now, on these project areas, we had areas designated for commercial redevelopment, for residential redevelopment, and for expansion of universities such as Georgia Tech, and Atlanta University, Georgia State University, and to buy the land at a very marked down price from Hubbard after it had been acquired by the urban renewal program.
Wasn't there a plan originally not to build any low-income projects on renewal land?
It may have been a suggestion, but didn't go away. Couldn't carry very far.
Because I thought Mayor Allen had pretty much not built any low-income projects on renewal land until about 1966. And
Well, now you take for example, this Atlanta Civic Center, the Landmark Apartments, the Marriott Central, Porter Ford, the place where the stadium now stands, all on Urban Hill project, right. Urban Hill land.
It's not housing.
How's that?
It's not housing that was built there, though.
Well, that's the part that was not housing, but then we designated the area that was housing, too. It wasn't feasible to put housing right in the middle of the city where business really ought to be.
Okay, so you were really redeveloping this area for commercial purposes and for civic centers, stadiums, things like that.
That's right.
And the housing was to be pushed further out.
Well, we didn't propose any housing right in the city of Atlanta,
right
in the center of it.
Right.
It just wasn't feasible.
Right.
Okay. We had four categories of property we tried to plan for. It was a low and medium income housing. Commercial, schools and colleges, and civic needs. And I always remember that under Urban Hill, the Urban Hill project was just part of it. The housing code enforcement was citywide. It didn't apply just to the housing, to the project areas. And the policy for reinforcement, or for carrying it out, was also citywide. The housing code was revised two or three times and brought up to date. Obviously it had changes, conditions changed. You can glance at that if you like. And finally, we decided to go toward the end of the Urban Hill program after we accomplished most everything we sought out to accomplish. The mayor decided to break up the Urban Hill department, turn the inspection over to the, using the code that had been developed by the Urban Hill Department in the building inspector's office as their code for rehabilitation of buildings.
Which mayor was this?
I think this is Ivan Allen, his second term. No, must have been Sam Marcel. I don't remember the exact timing of it. Anyway, they broke up the Urban Hill Department. Housing code enforcement went to the building department. Planning went to the planning department. And the execution of the project still stayed with the housing authority as the buying and selling of land. And this little pamphlet here has quite a bit in it. different project areas, states right in here when they were adopted and they started.
Mm-hmm. I see.
Also in this material here somewhere, I don't even have my hands on it right now, is the one showing the number of acres involved in each of the new projects. Mm-hmm. Housing goals and the program, the city of Atlanta, that had to go in the middle of the program. I have a few papers here, which is mostly policy, show how we function. And if I have more than one copy of it, I'll be glad to give you a copy of it.
Oh,
sure. Even Corgan disease. There's one in here.
Right, thanks.
Major accomplishments in housing and now in code enforcement, July 31st, 1963. What I just gave you.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's two copies of this, aren't there? This is one of the citizens of the city of Atlanta trying to tell the city what the program is about. And all this time we've made a number of appearances before various civic groups, the Chamber of Commerce, Atlanta City Capital Club, Capital City Club, and places like that. The West End Businessmen Association is very active. We made a number of appearances out there, presentations to them. Whenever anybody was doubtful about it, usually we'd go out and have a presentation of what it was all about. They understood it better. We tried to keep the people affected notified of what we're trying to do. And here the paper said, housing some clearance. Can't read with the glasses on, can't read with the glasses on.
Want to look at it?
No, I'm sorry. Code enforcement. Policies. Guide for the inspectors themselves.
Yeah, housing and slum clearance code enforcement, right.
Or one document, is that two?
That's one, I think. Is that the same thing?
That's the same as this.
Oh, okay.
And have that one. Well, the housing court had to be modified from time to time. This is the Lundog and Bella House of the original housing court at one time.
Mm-hmm.
You should see that. The only copies that I have, and I don't think I would really get much help.
Same as this, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the same as this. This is probably inspection panel rules and having full enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
I want to look at each property.
Okay, let me ask a few questions also.
Yeah. But one more thing to show you, financial question. This chart is now
in the library. Well, let me ask you some of this. 1957, I came across a quote from you saying that the displacees must be found housing before the renewal program began. Before renewal began at all, it was 1957. Was there any attempt at all to find housing for those who were going to be displaced by renewal?
Ask your question again.
Yeah. Oh, was there any attempt to find housing for those who were being displaced in the very early stages of urban renewal, let's say around 1957, 58?
Yes, there were, and the progress of the acquisition, demolition of some of those slum properties was delayed until housing could be found for them in other places.
Where were they trying to find housing for?
Well, we had a relocation section in the urban renewal department that worked with them.
Right at first? Right at the beginning?
And, but it kind of grew, the department grew. That's why we had this inventory here. So this is one of the last ones. We made one every year, and we use this as a means of helping them find houses they might not know about.
Okay.
And have a hear that section, we go out and talk to these people and take them and indicate it out to show them the different places where they could go.
Let me get something else. What do you think the impact of the failure to build public housing on the Eggleston Hospital site? What impact did that have? 1960, I think.
On what hospital site?
Eggleston. Eggleston Hospital side, there was a big controversy over building public housing near Georgia Baptist Hospital on the old Eggleston Hospital site, East Atlanta. You remember that at all?
Yeah.
What impact did it have? What What problems did it cause for relocation?
Well, the relocation was quite a problem all the way through on any part of the program. I don't know that just for one site went away from another site. And we tried to do everything good. We had one thing I haven't mentioned here. We took advantage of these people the federal government was sending out to make jobs during the summer. We hired, I used, I don't know how many of them, several of them, three or four or five. And they worked on the inventories of where housing was and kept the housing relocation chief advised of where he could find housing. And he would pass the word on to the people who were looking for him.
Was it generally an attempt to push blacks into the western part of the city?
No.
Because most of the public housing was placed in the west.
Well, that's...
most of it was in the west. Some of it was in the south of the city. But from what I read from what the blacks were saying during that time, they felt that there was an effort being made to push all their housing into the west.
No, there wasn't at all. They claimed that, but that wasn't true. Now, on every renewal project that we had, every project for development of new housing, whether it's urban renewal or something else, conventional, one or other HUD programs, we had to go to the housing and HUD development section. They had a man that had to pass on whether or not that location, proposed location, was suitable for the community as a whole as far as the blacks are concerned. We had to get his okay on every project before we carried out. We wanted at one time to have a project adjacent to the automobile plant in Doraville, I believe it is. And he objected to it, but he said that was too far away. The people who were occupied would be blacks. They'd have to travel too far across the city where they lived. And they didn't get a project there. So his name was Smith, we had to coordinate with him.
And I think it was about 1967, I think HUD said that unless public housing in Atlanta was dispersed a little more, that they weren't going to support any more renewal projects. So I think even HUD at one point felt that the public housing was going too much into one area.
Well, we didn't went to lots in certain areas because that's where the dilapidation was. The purpose of urban renewal was to redevelop the land for more practical use.
How about the effort to put public housing into the northeast of the city? I know there was some kind of package zoning deal for a while to disperse public housing around the city. What became of that?
So it has worked out on a piecemeal basis. We put quite a bit of public housing in areas out near East Lake.
Yeah.
Out there.
But how about into the northeast of the city?
Well, they put some in the northeast of the city too what's the street? Ponsilium?
Yeah.
Wasn't very much there, but they did put some units there.
I got the feeling that some of the area in the northeast where the upper class whites live, when that area was being suggested for public housing, the area was rezoned commercial to keep the low income projects out of the area. Any memories of that at all?
I didn't have anything to do with the zoning, the zoning of it.
I know, I just wanted to know if you had heard about that or all that thing.
There's all kind of accusations being made by the opposition.
But
I never did get where the opposition was completely eliminated. Always had some of it.
Mm-hmm.
Through the use of the Citizen Advisory Committee and the development of the workable program, we were able to get enough relocated housing dispersed ample enough to accept it by the federal government.
Mm-hmm. The federal government opposed the concentration of public housing at first. They changed their mind a little afterwards. I think about 1967, they said there was no more public housing to be built in minority areas, that they wanted to spread around a little more.
And they were trying to do that throughout the country.
And then they changed their mind a little, I guess, later on. How about efforts to win over the black community with 221 housing, construction loans, money to purchase sites? Was there an attempt to bring black real estate firms into the whole renewal project?
Yes, there was. Quite a few projects.
And what would be pointed at? To win over black support for renewal?
To have general support for the project.
Okay.
You couldn't run the program without support of the community.
Okay, and also the land, the expansion land for Atlanta University, that was also done to win support from the black community, I guess.
Yes.
Okay. How about the role of the federal government in all this? For example, okay, in 1963, the Urban Renewal Administration said they would continue support for renewal only if more public housing was built in the city. It seems the government was upset that there was too little public housing being built and too many people being displaced. That was in 1963. Was the federal government putting pressure on the city to build more public housing during this time?
No, I don't think it was putting pressure on the city. It was just stated their policy.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't say that the federal government put pressure on the city.
How about the role of the FHA in continuing segregation in the city? I had read this someplace else that when you dealt with white people being displaced, the FHA was very willing to approve land for their relocation. But when it came for blacks to be relocated, the FHA was very reluctant to put blacks into certain areas of the city.
One thing, this mayor, the FHA, we had to go see, get his approval, before we could have a project at all.
Mm-hmm.
Wanted to keep the blacks in the central part of the city, so because they afraid their food and power would be diluted if they went spread them out.
Right. This is the FHA person who wanted that?
The FHA person.
Who was that? That was Thompson? Al Thompson, was that it?
Yes, he was one of them. Yeah. Al Thompson. Not Bob Thompson, Al Thompson.
Yeah, Bob Thompson. And the city leaders, Atlanta city leaders, didn't want the blacks to stay in that area.
The city realized that there were certain parts of the city that were going to improve the city as a whole. It just wasn't feasible to put blacks or even whites in low-income houses in the middle of the city like where the Marriott is right now, and where the Landmark apartments is, and where the Civic Center is. And they needed more for the development of the city as a whole, and yes, the place to locate blacks.
Okay. Now, was there any concern with white neighborhoods that might be taken over by blacks as the blacks were being pushed out of the city?
Yes, I was part of the city.
Was anything done for the whites in those areas at all?
We had that show down in what we call the Cool Creek area in southeast Atlanta. It was a big undertaking, an awful lot of faucets that you have to be turned on to make the program work. You go against some opposition no matter what you do.
There's also, I said before, Mayor Allen, up until 1966, didn't permit renewal land to be used for public housing. 1966, he changed his policy, and the first public housing put on renewal land was the McDaniel Street project in the Ross and Washington renewal area. That was the first one, 1966. Why, do you have any idea why he changed his mind, why he was willing in 1966 to put a long-term project on renewal land?
I could tell you why, I don't know.
Because it seems before that the business leaders in the city, particularly the Central Atlanta Improvement Association, was against any public housing being put on renewal land. That was seemed to be policy until 1966 to keep projects off the renewal land and to push blacks further out.
Well, I think that's part of the program from the beginning.
To keep push the blacks a little further out?
You can't help but push them further out if you're going to take where they're living and develop it for commercial development.
Was there any thought of building the Civic Center and the stadium as racial buffers during this time to protect the CBD commercial area?
No one ever heard that mentioned.
No. Not the stadium, not the Civic Center, it was a buffer area.
No. Allen posted the fact that he was building a stadium on land that the city did not own, the money that the city did not have, and for a team that didn't exist.
Okay, right. I heard that Allen wanted to build a white project there first, with a stadium there. And that there was opposition from the blacks who wanted a black project there. And then Allen said he's not going to do either a white or a black project, he's going to put the stadium there.
I think there's probably something to that. There's discussions about that.
Okay. Do you think...
I say the buying and the selling of the land, the actual purchase of it, and the actual giving the land under development, under the housing authority.
Yeah, right.
They didn't know more about that than I would.
Do you think racial factors played an important role in decision making during that time?
In what?
Racial factors, dealing with racism in the city, did that play an important role in decision making?
Well, I don't think it played too important a role. It played a role, there's no question about it.
But it's hard to say how important
this is. For example, in the parks department, that been occupied by a white woman. And she had it for years. And she actually made a remark one time. It's hard to decide to let this woman, she had, and the contract had to be renewed for some reason. Either give her the job back, which she'd done very well with, no complaints, or whether to put her back in there because of the opportunity to face blacks in a key position. And he was torn with two in the strain.
Did you see any change in renewal policies at all by the time Mayor Jackson came in? Now that it was a black mayor, was there any change at all in town's oldest.
Yes, it was changed when he came in.
What's up with that?
He tried to put blacks in the power position in the city. And, for example, they had a fire department and a police department. And in order to put the blacks in commanding position, then they established the commissioner program. So they put the fire department and the police department both under the
Public Service Commission.
Yeah. And that's the way that they overcame that. It was a very definite effort to place blacks in key operating positions.
Mm-hmm. And did that change the renewal situation in the city?
Well, it didn't change it, it just made it a little more difficult to operate.
Okay. In what way? Why more difficult?
Well, it's changing personnel and jobs that they weren't familiar with, hadn't worked on before,
mm-hmm.
putting them in charge of what we call green departments.
So, did you get the feeling that there was a desire by Hartsfield and by Allen to work with the blacks and try and work out some of the problems?
Yes, I think it was all the way through.
Okay. I want to get some of the dates that you were various things. Now, you were director of the Urban Renewal Department from when to when. Do you remember?
I was placed in the planning department for performing urban renewal functions in the planning department.
Okay.
I was a division head there of my own self. I didn't have any personnel.
You were division head of the planning department?
Of the urban renewal section.
Of the urban renewal section of the
planning department.
What year was that? Do you remember?
What
year?
That was in 57.
57, okay. So, and then you stayed with that until an urban renewal department was actually created.
Yes, until it actually was created, which was about
1968.
Maybe 57. Okay. I said maybe 57 or 58, I don't remember which.
Okay. I think it might be 1960 that I think right before, I think on the Hartsfield, I think an urban renewal department was created in '60, and I think you were placed in it then.
Yes, that's correct. I don't remember the dates exactly.
And then you became housing coordinator in 1968?
No, in the Boston Urban Renewal Department, I was placed in the building department and supervisor inspection service.
Okay.
For 2 years.
Okay.
I held that for 2 years. And then at that time, getting on pretty late, in the 70s, I was designated as taken out of the building department and designated as coordinator of low and medium income housing in the office of the mayor.
Okay, and what year was that, do you think?
I think that was about, I retired from the city in 74, must have been about 72.
And when were you director of the Housing Resources Committee?
The Housing Resources Committee was a development. Development from the Citizen Advisory Committee of Urban Hill. After the Advisory Urban Hill Department, they couldn't have an Urban Hill director or Urban Hill coordinator because they didn't have a department. So I was placed in writing immediate under the mayor. and stayed there in that pavilion until I retired.
So the director of the Housing Resource Committee, you took that over with director of the Housing Resource Committee when about the late 1960s, you think?
Late 1960s or first part of 1970s.
I was also curious about if you could suggest any other people to contact at all that had worked with you during that time. I was thinking particularly of people like Philip Hammer. Remember that name at all?
Hammer?
Yeah.
Yes, I do.
Do you know if he's around anymore? If he's,
I don't know what he's doing. I haven't heard of him in years.
Okay. How about Jim Parham? He was the Metro Planning Commissioner, Housing Relocation Coordinator. Is he right? Do you know if he's any place?
I don't know him, but he didn't do a great deal in jail.
You don't know where he is anymore, either?
No.
And do you think of anybody else that might be worthwhile to speak to?
What?
Can you think of anybody else that might be worthwhile to speak to?
Yes. Now, when those new projects are being developed, and I could see the land is being made available, and knew how it could be purchased at a reduced price for educational purposes, I sat on a road letter to the president of Georgia State University and one to the president of Georgia Tech, pointing out the advantages that they could have in acquisition of campuses, both of which they're trying to do, to do it under urban renewal. Georgia State took it up right away, immediately. And Langsdale was appointed the head of the Housing Citizens Committee for urban renewal. And Georgia Tech was slowing. Responded. They didn't respond for about a year. And we had one man from Georgia Tech, I think he was an instructor with Ed Clark. He was the CA Clark. He was very helpful. And we talked to Bob Thompson?
Yeah, talked to Bob Thompson. I talked to Cecil Alexander.
Yeah.
Dan Sweat, Kai Gladden, spoke to him.
Yeah.
And Ivan Allen, I spoke to in the cell at Jackson.
Let's see who else you might talk to. Talk to Satterfield?
No.
The housing authority?
No. Is he still in the city?
He's not there now. No, he retired.
Retired. You don't speak to him.
I haven't seen him for years.
No.
I've been almost completely out of contact with the former city employees, particularly the last couple of years. I've been either in this institution or in the hospital since July the 15th last year. Still on.
Yes, I know. I try to get in touch with you first in the hospital.
I can't think. Some of these papers here that I've given you, you'll find the names of certain people that you can tell yourself whether or not worthwhile talking to them.
Well, I'll see if I can get in touch with some of them. It's hard to find people sometimes years and years later.
I know you.
I was able to find you simply through the phone book.
Yeah.
That's the best place to look sometimes. Just to look in the phone book and see who's still in the city.
Yeah.
But,
oh, yeah.
Well, I'll give it a try. Well, thanks very much.
Quite well.